welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, our own Jamie Giddens brings a live report from the 37th Annual Daytime Emmy Award Weekend in Las Vegas. Days of Our Lives snaps up. Stacey Hajduk. ABC claims Brandon Buddy remains on contract. All My Children cast a love interest for Colby. The stunt casting war heats up between General Hospital and YNR as GH casts Adrian Barbeau. Steffi's on to Oliver and Brooke on B&B. Jeff Branson makes his YNR debut. And As the World Turns winds down. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. From Wubs.net, welcome. It's always a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Reagan, welcome.
Hi.
And Bernard, welcome.
Hello.
Also, joining us from Las Vegas, very early in the morning for Vegas time, is our own Jamie Giddens. Jamie, how are things going at the 37th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards this weekend?
Wait just a second. I'm at an Elvis wedding chapel. I'm being married. Stay tuned for who.
Lord.
I can't exactly tell you who it is, but let's just say Helmut Huber is not going to be a happy guy. when he finds out what's happened.
Well, I understand you had an opportunity to speak with Agnes Nixon.
Yes, I did. I met Mama Agnes. I was at the gifting lounge yesterday where all the stars can go pick up all their swag. And I got a lot of swag, too. It's like, I was like, I'm not a star, you know. I didn't cover it. The people were like, here, take a handkerchief designed by people in third world countries. Like, there's all a bunch of cool stuff there. But, yeah, I saw Agnes Nixon with her son. Still feisty, still giving, you know, fiery quotes, so I'll be posting some of that later. But, yeah, it was quite an honor to meet, you know, one of the mothers of, I mean, well, basically the other mother of daytime television. And we talked about Erna Phillips, and, you know, I asked her if she's going to be writing a memoir, because that is a book I would love to read, you know. And so I got some dish on that again. Look for that on DaytimeConfidential.com. But yeah, it was an honor to meet her. I was in awe.
You also posted a interview with Mark Hafka, and I know you've had an opportunity to speak with some of the other Days of Our Lives stars. What can you tell us there?
Oh yeah, Mark was cool. He's cool, peeps. Yeah, I wanted to find out forget all this Team Jacob and Team Edward. I'm like, the real deal for soap fans on Days is he Team Melanie or Team Stephanie? So
heads up to Twilight fans. We do not want to be attacked on Twitter.
Here, I ain't Emma Roberts. I ain't scared. Bring it. And what? So that was fun. And then later I talked to Molly Burnett, who said she was shocked that he was Team Melanie. And her boyfriend, Casey Diedrich, who plays Chad, was basically like, I'm Team Shelody. So he's like pushing for Chad and Melody to be pushed together. But, you know, there's no real story preview for that. But, you know, those two were a blast. Yeah, they convinced me to sample the Dragon Blue Vodka, which was one of the brands of swag that was there.
And look how it worked. It's getting mentioned on our podcast.
Exactly. I'm like, you know, I was loving the Dragon Blue. Yeah, it was a nice, fun event. A lot more stars showed up to the gift lounge this year in Vegas than did last year in L.A. I mean, it was, you know, when Michael Muni from YNR showed up, it was like, and with Sharon Case, you would have thought Brad and Angelina showed up. I mean, they were flocked and, you know, really, really cool energy there. You know, I wouldn't mind, even though, Lord help, he's done so much to Sharon, but hell, Roger did so much to Holly. I wouldn't mind if Y&R kept exploring that, because I'm kind of over the shit, Nick, flick, snick, Nick thing. But, Reagan and,
yes,
and Karen, my UGH lovers, will love what I witnessed. I was there for the very first meeting of Sean Kanan and Drew Garrett.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I overheard photographer Steven Bergman going, wouldn't that guy have played that guy's son on G8? And so I was like, yeah. And so he arranged, because I know a lot of other photographers started taking pictures of it, so I just wanted to give Steven his shout out. He came up with what will no doubt be the photo op of the gifting suite when he took pictures of Sean Kanan and Drew Garrett together. And I said, Reagan, your ears should have been burning, because when I was talking to Drew, I told him, I let him know, you were definitely the definitive Michael. I said, I'm okay with the recap. I said, I don't like how it happened, but he's not a bad actor. He's not you. He lacks your intensity. Drew said, well, he was told that he was replaced because the actor was more intense. And I was like, no, that's not the case. That's definitely, you know, yeah, I don't know what they consider intense. But so long story short, I made the joke as they were taking the picture. I almost ruined it because, like, Drew took a moment to give me a fist pound because I said, oh, the real AJ and the real Michael. Mm. And he goes, oh, I love that turn. So he was there with his little cutie patootie girlfriend. And let me tell you who can strike a pose with the best of them, like a primetime star on a red carpet photo shoot. That little girl, and I don't know her name, and so someone's going to have to look it up, but the little girl that plays Gabby on Days of Our Lives.
Oh, yeah.
That girl was posing. I mean, and she was arching her little legs and stuff and going on like she was Kim Kardashian. I mean, she was looking at all, I mean, she knew where to look. You know, I'm saying this, like, a lot of times with the younger daytime stars, you don't see that. You know, they kind of look like deer in headlights for the first couple of years until they get some, you know, I mean, but she was, you thought she was Michelle Stafford the way she was. Ready for my close stuff. You know, I was like, Lady Gaga or somebody needs to be playing with this one. And I started to interview her, and I was like, well, I don't know her real name, so that's probably not a good thing to go and say, hey, Gabby from Days of My Life.
Well, I do have a question. How has your stalking of Vanessa Marcel been going?
Excuse me, Luke. I don't have to stalk anyone. I have exclusive access to the know. I have not seen Vanessa. Of course, I'm hoping she will magically, you know, descend from the heavens and walk the red carpet line tonight. I missed Kelly Monaco. She was in the gifting lounge, and I hate that because I really wanted to interview Kelly so that I could finally put all the J-Sam fans to ease to know that I don't like Sam McCall, but I have nothing against Kelly Monaco. She's gorgeous, my God. But somebody was like, yeah, Kelly Monaco just left. So I was like, damn.
I have to tell you something. You probably haven't seen Twitter or anything, but my stuffed lobster, Alberta, uh-huh, has been all over Vegas, and she went to the party last night with all the cast members. So if you see a little red, if you see a red lobster, that's my Wubbs lobster that's traveling. And she met Carolyn Hennessy yesterday at her book signing.
She have a book signing here in Vegas?
Yes, she did. It borders.
Oh.
Yep,
I
yesterday.
Wish I would have known.
Yeah, I have a great picture of her with my lobster. So just so you know, just look out for Alberta.
Will be looking for Alberta.
Okay.
For the As World Turns and B&B fans, did you run into any of their stars?
Yes, I interviewed Julie Pinson. That'll be up. You know, basically just told her how much we love her and, you know, then, you know, got some intel on, like, her process for, you know, playing these interlopers that we end up loving. You know, I was like, you know, you came between Lucy and Kevin on Port Charles, and then you came between Bo and Hope on Days, and then Jack and then when I got to Jack and Carly, she interrupted me. Hold on, hold on. No, no. Jack and Carly were done. I did not come between Jack and Carly. So take that, carjackers.
They were on a break. They were on a break.
Yeah, it was funny. She had her mom with her. And I saw Marnie Schulenberg, but since you all are so ugly about her on the podcast, I just
Okay.
I will say this. She is really gorgeous in person. I don't know why they seem to front Allison up on the show, but yeah, that's the other thing. It's like everyone there needed to eat to visit the Vegas Hilton's awesome buffet, because everybody is po, as my grandmother would say. They're just skinny. I'm like, just, oh my gosh, all the women at least. And well, the guys too. I mean, it's like standing there next to Molly Burnett and Casey Dedrick, I'm like, okay, I will never eat a carb again. And Drew too. I mean, like, oh, I will go ahead and drop this on the podcast, so it'll be up on the blog, but Drew Garrett was up for a pilot on CMT. I don't know if that's already out there, but the country music, what does CMT stand for?
Country Music Channel?
Country Music Television.
Television, there we go.
Okay, yeah. They're like getting into scripted TV. He lost it to his best friend, so he said all was good, and I said something about how, well, he could buy drinks. The first round of drinks could be on him. And I was like, oh, that's why you're not 21. He goes, yes, I am.
Like, he just turned 21, so, yeah. I think. He was saying something about how Vegas, he was going to be 21, like recently 21 when he hit Vegas. I don't think that did hit the net. I know that he had auditioned for that role of Colby's love interest on All My Children and didn't get it because they decided to go a little older.
A little older. Oh, have they seen what that guy looks like in that picture?
That's what I said too.
We'll get
I like
to that
clicked
later
on
in the podcast. But have they seen that picture?
I know. I like clicked on. I was like, "What the? Okay."
Well, I told him, and you know, I told him this is so not a slam at all because I love daytime, but he's too good for daytime. I mean, daytime is a training ground, and you know, I'm reading the guy that created Family Ties and that other Michael J. Fox sitcom, Spin City. Gary David, I think his name is Gary David Goldberg. I'm glad I don't have to do a book report because I can't even remember his name. But I'm loving it, and you know, and he took his first writing class at a little college in California. I guess it was like a JUCO. The writing instructor called him up to the front and was like, you're out of this class because I have nothing to teach you. You're brilliant. Go to LA now and try to get work. And that would be my advice for Drew Garrett in terms of soaps. Not that you can't. Of course you can have a long and rewarding career in soaps being a great actor, but, you know, if your first experience you get booted for doing work like that, it's like, screw it. He should be going aggressively after pilots. I mean, I could recast half the people on those ABC Family shows with an actor like Drew Garrett. It's like, come on. Like, he really should focus on primetime and film, I think, as good as he was. And, you know, so, I mean, I would definitely think any soap that would get him would be very smart. But, you know, yeah, he's on for bigger and better, I think.
Before we let you go, maybe get some sleep in preparation for the big night tonight, I have two questions for you. First of all, what's it like being hanging out once again with our friends at We Love Soaps? And what are your thoughts on ABC's Brandon Buddy statement?
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I'm just disappointed. Everybody back home in Texas, because I'm not a stepper anymore. I had to beg off on the We Love Soaps boys at about midnight. They were still out carousing, and I'm like, guys, I got to catch a cab back to the hotel. And they're like, what? It's the night is young. I'm like, yeah, and I'm old. So, And I'm younger than both of them, so I don't know what that says, but I was like, okay, between the, I did most of my partying at the gift lounge with the free vodka with Dave Keen stars. So basically by the time I went out with them, I was already three shades in the wind, and I was like, okay, must go, must sleep now. And so, yeah, but it's been fun. They didn't get in until last night. I've been here since Friday night, so I'm sure I'll see them again. I'm sure they'll try to trick me on camera or something. I don't know. But and the other thing, Brandon Buddy. Okay, now, I love Brandon Buddy. I bonded with him last year at the Emmys, and so this is in no way am I trying to throw shade on him at all. Because like I said, I really think he's an awesome guy. I believe someone hacked into his Twitter account just about as much as I believe what I wrote on Facebook as a joke that Casey and Molly tied me down and poured that vodka down my throat against my will. I just don't think someone hacked his Twitter account and tweeted about his plans not to renew his contract. Now, that is my opinion. That is not any type of fact or, you know, I mean, that just sounds very random. It sounds like, you know, an actor got upset or, you know, made a decision in haste and decided to tweet that and then had to do a little damage control. I mean, he even tweeted several things after it about how there was big stuff coming up for Cole and Starr and, you know, he was not in any type of contract negotiations at the time. So, you know, that ABC's statement is he's still under contract. You know, he wasn't in any negotiations at the time. So if he was just saying, I'm deciding that when, you know, it's done, I'm done. I mean, it could have just been, you know, like with any of us. We all have bad days at work where we think, to hell with this. You know, I'm quitting. But, you know, and then we get home and see the cable bill and go, well, shit. Maybe I better, you know, go back into work tomorrow and tell my boss I was just kidding. You know, so Twitter, I know, and I talked to a publicist in the industry recently who said that Twitter is the bane. Twitter is every blogger's wet dream. It's the bane mm-hmm. of the existence for these soap opera publicists because, you know, it puts the star right in connection with his fans, and he gets to control his or her own press before, you know, the publicist can, you know, orchestrate it. And so, yeah.
And I just realized something that I did want to ask you also about before we let you go. I apologize for holding you up, but what do you think of Stacey Hyduk going to Days of Our Lives?
Well, considering...
I know, but it's not as who you wishful, like, we're wishful casting her as.
No, but never say it never. I'm sure that this random warden will now have a whole lot more bite than she would have with just, you know... I have complete faith that Gary Tomlin... I'm not saying he'll make her Kristen and Susan like I want, but... I have complete faith that he will flesh that role out and that we will get an awesome role for Hyduk. Gary Tomlin is quickly proving to be the smartest executive producer in the game. I used to give that to Frank Valentini, but, yeah, post-Kish, not so much. But, yeah, Hyduk today's, I think, her particular energy, talent, strengths are totally suited to Days because, I mean, in the grand tradition of her former Y&R co-star Eileen Davidson and Renee Jones and, you know, Joe Boscolo and Michael Sabatino and Louise Sorrell, Days has had a myriad of really good actors who have, like, stolen the show by playing whacked-out villains. And how did I miss? It's Allison Sweeney. You know, watching the show now, you wouldn't know that because she's a romantic heroine, Sammy. But, hell, Sammy was the best scheming little mess there ever was. love to see Stacy play that kind of role on the show, you know. Maybe she can put her hair up in a snooky bouffant and she can say she's been the one being nighttime hope. She and Christian Alfonso bear a passing resemblance. Maybe she can wear dark contacts and be like, it was just me, it was never hope. I don't know.
Well, Jamie, we look forward to visiting with you once again after the Emmys have ended. We are going to be recording an episode that should air Tuesday, post-Emmys. We look forward.
I don't believe it should. I've been hanging around David Jacobs from We Love Something.
We look forward to visiting with you and have a blast. Break a leg.
Yes, have a good time.
Well, if I drink any more of this Dragon Blue Vodka, I might break a leg.
You gotta get the soap stars to drink it.
All of a sudden, we'll see Jamie streaking across the daytime Emmy stage.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to get a case of it for free. My birthday's coming up. So, talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye. Let's follow up on a couple of topics we discussed towards the end of Jamie's segment. Reagan and Karen, what do you guys think of the Brandon Buddy Twitter hacking thing? Karen, you first.
When I first read that, the second part that he was quote-unquote hacked, I knew it was a backpedal because, like Jamie said, he had tweeted several times after that. And if somebody hacks your account, they're not just going to tweet things that we already know. So I do think that he had a bad day. And, I don't know what kind of fallout can happen from this. Anything? I have no idea.
Reagan?
Yeah, I don't really believe that hacking story. I think, you know, he made a rash comment, kind of got his hand smacked or thought about it and mm-hmm. tried to retract what he said in a little bit of a...
Blame it on technology.
Yeah, less than truthful.
I love blaming stuff on technology.
You know, and it's fine. You know, I think, like everyone said, people have bad days and they make, you know, some poor choices and, it happens. You know, he's still a young kid. And I think that's what people forget. I think there's a lot of shakeups going on in his story with this introduction of the James character who is, you know, put on contract. He's not just some character that was just brought in for a little bit. He's a contract role. So, I mean, I can understand if maybe he's having a little bit of a hard time right now.
Well, and
with Twitter, like, come on, guys, think about it.
Yeah, it's I vent on it all the time.
Yeah.
So,
and it's a brand new medium that's why you have a publicist. And I think a lot of, especially the younger soap stars, don't understand why you have to go through a publicist, but this is exactly why.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it makes publicists irrelevant and makes us closer to our stars. But I did want to follow up on something, because Jamie mentioned the fact that Drew Garrett had tried out for a role, or actually maybe it was Reagan mentioned the fact that he had tried out for the role of Asher
mm-hmm.
on All My Children, but he was too young, which is sort of interesting because Reagan and I had a conversation on Instant Messenger this last week where I was thinking, well, if Brandon Buddy is out in the context of once his contract is up, he's gone, would it be fantastic to have Drew Garrett as Cole?
And what did I say?
And you said he looks too young. And then it's like, I don't understand how it is that Drew Garrett looks too young. I mean, his acting abilities are so strong that even if he does have a quote-unquote baby face, his performances are that of a much more mature individual. And it's to me, I think he would make an excellent Cole if Brandon Buddy would leave.
It's not, you know, it's not so much that I think he has a baby face. I think whenever you take one actor from a previous soap onto another soap and you try to sore ass him or age him even more, it's hard to just sort of dispel that age that he was on the previous show and say, oh, okay, so now I'm supposed to believe he was 18 over here and now he's 22 over here. It's hard to believe somebody aged 4 years in 2 months.
But Cole's not 22.
That's true.
Cole just graduated from high school last year, right?
Yeah, that's true. Cole's actually younger than what Drew Garrett's actual age is.
Right.
So I guess
I think part of that is that Brandon Buddy This is no slam against him, so please don't slam me, folks. But he looks older.
Yeah.
He every time I see him, ever since I've seen him on the show, I always think he's like 24 or 25, as opposed to the age that Cole is. So it's always just that big leap I have to make that, oh, he's actually in his late teens, early 20s, because he just looks older himself. I think that's really a part of that whole issue with Drew Garrett. If he were to have been, you know, just in the wishful casting, if he were Cole, it's like, you know.
Can you imagine him, though? Can you imagine Drew Garrett opposite of Trevor St. John, Kristen Alderson, mm-hmm. and Cassie DePaiva? It would be amazing.
Yeah, well, it would be pretty good. I mean, he's just amazing, in my opinion. So,
Bernard, let's follow up on the Stacey Hajduk topic for a bit, because Stacey Hajduk, it's been amazing for me as an All My Children fan to watch Stacey Hajduk's career trajectory, because not many people liked her as Hannah on All My Children. They didn't, and myself included, I didn't think she was very good in the role. Then she went to The Young and the Restless and made Patty one of the best characters on that show and basically carried the show on her shoulders for, what, 2 years? And it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Now, after that, Days of Our Lives has snapped her up, and I think very wisely, what do you look forward to in a role for her on Days of Our Lives? And do you think that YNR has made a bad decision? We discussed it some last week, but as a YNR watcher, what do you think?
First of all, I'm a really new YNR watcher. I mean, really new, even though I have, like, some history with the show, but I'm very well aware of her work. And I think that I have, you know, in watching her on YNR, I have been just energized by her performances. I mean, she just lights up everything when she's on screen. I want to backtrack just a second. I didn't like her as Hannah on All My Children either, but I don't think that was completely because of Ms. Hajduk. I think that was just because that was a really poorly written character.
It was a terrible character.
In a time when, you know, the show was actually really, you know, on that downward slide that it was going on. So the character, a really bad character, can make even a good actor look, you know, look worse than they are. Just as some actors can turn sugar to shit, shit to sugar, as we like to say. But I think that I do believe it was a mistake for YNR to let her go. Even if it meant sending Patty away for a while, and even if that meant keeping Emily on in Patty's place. I think they should have found a way to keep her, and I think it was really wise of Days to pick her up. My question when I heard it was, you know, this prison role character was well, is it going to be short term, or are they going to turn it to a long term role? And I think that, you know, it was Jamie addressed that it just might be something that can be fleshed out and turned into something more. I want to see the character on Days be another departure for Hajduk. I want to see that character, because, you know, Hannah was a hot mess of a character, just period. But Emily and Patty on YNR were two really big leaps. You have like a Stone Cold Psycho on one hand, and then you have her playing her psychiatrist on the other. I want to see just what else is Hajduk capable of?
I think she's capable of anything.
I think that she is too. That's what I would like to see. You know, just what? How could they make this prison warden on Days a completely different character than what? I mean, completely different character type than anything Hajduk has played before. I would really like to see her range more so than, you know, the character itself per se. I just want to see her range. What can this woman do?
The other big story this last week, in addition to the Daytime Emmys, in addition to Brandon Buddy and Stacey Hajduk, was the Days of Our Lives storyline of Alice being laid to rest on Days of Our Lives in Salem. And boy, watching those episodes was gut-wrenching, sad, and took me back to when I lost my own great-grandfather. And it was probably the toughest one to watch for myself personally since Lila Quatermain, which is my all-time, like, when Lila Quatermain died, I just, like, had a meltdown. But it was so well done. The things that were said at the graveside service, the people who came back, absolutely loved it. I just wanted to read a few comments from people commented on Daytime Confidential. Dinah wrote, "I was so proud of being a Days fan today." And then we had Cheryl 85 wrote, "It was pulled off well. Everyone did a great job bidding farewell to Alice. Hope, Lucas, and Mike brought the tears for me. Thank you, Days, for giving Salem's matriarch the tribute she deserved." ABC Soap Lover wrote, "If there was an episode Days should nominate for next year's Emmys, this is the one. That wasn't just acting they were doing. It was true emotion on display. Kristen and Suzanne and Susan and Melissa especially stood out. Days did it right. If that was the show's last episode, I would have been satisfied. As the world turns, top that." And then Nathan G1983 wrote, "It was such a great episode yesterday. I DVR'd it and watched it last night. Didn't get very emotional until they showed the clip montage and everyone was crying in that scene toward the end. I almost teared up then, and the scene was very real. Too bad some of these characters can't stick around. I get tired of the ones that are currently featured, with the exception of Beau and Hope, Carly and Vivian." Now, Bernard and Reagan, I know that even though you guys don't necessarily watch Days of Our Lives now, both of you have watched it in the past. So what did Alice mean to you as a Days viewer, Reagan?
You know, I always kind of relate everything back to General Hospital, since it's a show I stuck with all along. And she was like the Lila Quatermain of that show. I mean, it was who everybody kind of went to with their problem. And you just kind of got that warm and fuzzy feeling whenever she came on the show, onto your screen. And it's just, it's sad whenever one of these actors retires, but when they pass away and these shows have to do a tribute to them. And, you know, it's, you know, like the one commenter, a reader commented, you know, these actors, I doubt they were really acting at some point. I mean, they were saying goodbye to a coworker, a lifelong friend. As sad as it is, that all probably came very easily to them, because, you know, it was probably very, very hard for them to say goodbye.
Bernard?
I agree with everything that Reagan said, and to put it in a larger soap context, in a different context, I watched Days off and on for many years, and just like Reagan, every time I saw Alice, there would be a big smile that would come on my face, because Alice, who had been on the show since the beginning, was, you know, really the heart and soul of the show, and the matriarch. I mean, which I there's no pun intended here, but it's, you know, a dying breed. I mean, we just, on As the World Turns, lost Helen Wagner not that long ago, who uttered the first words on the show and was there from the beginning. I remember when Burt Bauer died on Guiding Light. And it wasn't too long ago, Phil Carey, and there's James Mitchell. I mean, a lot of the older actors and older stalwarts that we came to love passed away. And it's always just like a punch in the gut when it happens. And for a long time, for any fan of any soap who's come to love and cherish those characters, especially the matriarchs, it's really, really hard. And I remember when I saw the news that Frances Reed had passed away, I was really saddened by that, and you know, my heart goes out to the fans, friends, and coworkers of Ms. Reed and the entire Days family for that one. So I'm glad that they really did her memorial right in the eyes of people here.
Let's talk about All My Children for a bit, Karen. I have a question about the naming that goes on at All My Children. We have a new character portrayed by Trent Garrett, whose name is going to be Asher Pike. What is all my children's obsession with names like Spike and Pike?
I have no idea. I would love to ask someone that same question because I had to read the name twice and I had to say it out loud to make sure that I had read it correctly. I have no idea. I really don't. The Spike thing still kills me. In fact, when Erica was laying there in the throes of death, right in the hole in the pit, and she said, you know, take care of Bianca and take care of Kendall and take care of Spike. All I could do was laugh. Here's Erica Kane.
So
take
ridiculous.
Care of Spike. Okay. So I don't know.
Reagan, Damon, the character of Damon has matured a lot on screen, and the actor is actually is turning out to be very good. Now that Colby is going to have another possible love interest that will play a threat to Damon, where do you want to see this go?
I don't know. I kind of like Damon. I think he's a great actor. But he still has this, like, evil side to him where he's going to be screwing around with Liza a little bit.
See, I like that. I like the Liza.
I do. I like it, too, because I'm kind of getting sick of Liza. She's really pissing me off.
She's turning into her mother. I love it.
I think, and it's good. I mean, when they're pissing you off and that's what they're supposed to be doing, they're doing their job, right? I don't know. I wish I liked Colby more to want to see her in a triangle. You know what I mean? I just don't like Colby enough.
Wyatt R. stole my Marcy Ryland.
Please, Marcy Ryland, did you get your check yet for being her agent?
No, I haven't, but it should be in the mail.
I just wish I liked her enough to want her in some kind of triangle, you know? I don't know how this Asher character comes about, if he's some snot-nosed rich kid or what.
Sounds like it, with a name like Asher, for God's sake.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Right.
They're talking about possibly, what, blue blood? Is that what one of the rumors is?
Well, that'll be interesting to see Damon go up against some...
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We don't know if this boy can act yet, and All My Children does not have a good track record.
Oh
no, they don't.
I mean, Damon,
and then
the best
they passed
success.
On Drew Garrett.
Yeah, oh. Exactly.
Sorry.
Well, it's true. You're not stating anything but fact, Bernard. One of the All My Children talents that All My Children let go through its grasp was Jeff Branson. And after making a pit stop in Guiding Light, he's now on The Young and the Restless. What'd you think of his debut this past week?
I don't know. I like Jeff Branson a lot. I like him a lot. I liked him on All My Children, although they seriously had no idea what to do with him on there. I thought it was a fine shame on Guiding Light. Bringing him on as the antithesis of Chance, who is played by another former GL alum. I kind of like, you know, sort of the brash, cocky thing, but I like that's almost like really cliche.
It is, but I have to admit, I really liked his chemistry with Eden Riegel.
He's just hot. He could be hot with anybody. So,
oh yeah.
I mean,
well, he's got the dark brooding thing down really well.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he was. I thought they had really good chemistry too, but I also think that part of that, a little bit of it, is that
Chance is so boring.
Chance is so boring. Not so boring. That boy is like watching wet paint dry. I mean, that character is awful.
And that's what I don't understand about that, because John Driscoll, I loved him on Guiding Light.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, it's been a disappointment on YNR. So I'm really, really hoping, especially considering the fact that he's in these scenes with powerhouse little actresses like Elizabeth Hendrickson, and now we have Eden Riegel there. I'm hoping that Jeff Branson, as a rival, will do something to make Chance and more interesting and make John Driscoll step up his game.
Well, isn't the part of the problem with the Chance character is that it seems to be almost a mismatch between who the character is supposed to be, a cop, right, and Driscoll. I mean, Driscoll is a good actor. I liked him on Guiding Light, too. But it just seems like there's a mismatch between who that character is supposed to be and the actor playing him. It's almost like I would wish that Driscoll were playing a different character.
Oh, absolutely.
Rather than Chance. You know what I mean?
I think that Chance was, like, when they sat down and outlined what the character Chance was supposed to be, they made some grave mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to get him away from that.
And I also think there's another issue here, too. And we see it on soaps across the board, whether it's ABC or NBC's one. But there are actors who become available for whatever reason. And the show says, we got to get that actor because we don't want to let him go. We want to keep him in the family. And so they'll grab an actor and slot them in a role without really sort of considering would that actor actually work in that role. I think that's a little bit of it, too, with Driscoll.
Before we get to General Hospital, I want to talk about As the World Turns for a little bit. This last week, boy, for As the World Turns fans, the depressing news just keeps coming. I mean, we had the As the World Turns rap party. We published photos of those on Daytime Confidential. Got huge numbers of hits. I think it's probably the most any As the World Turns post has ever gotten on DC. Then there was the official cast photo, the tweets about it, the taping in this, I believe it's the Brooklyn Studios being over. As a big As the World Turns fan, as these things are all starting to be packed up, wrapped up, what do you think, Bernard?
Well, I think that I won't be able to make jokes about Julie Chen redecorating the studio anymore on Twitter. For anybody who follows me on Twitter, I have this really sort of weird, bizarre thing that I'd say that Julie Chen has decided to transform the Brooklyn Studios for As the World Turns into like her personal playground. But aside from that, when I got the news that it was this past Wednesday, was it not, that it was the last tape day for the show?
I believe so.
My heart just sank because it wasn't just the end of an era, because we say that all the time with when soaps go, but it really was. I mean, it's the final Procter & Gamble soap that from the company that invented the genre is gone. The show itself, which I have been, despite some of the really weird and wacky things I actually tweet about on the show daily, I've been thrilled with the vast majority of the stuff that I've seen from both the actors. I like the vast majority of the storylines on the show. And it's one of those gone way too soons where unlike Guiding Light, As the World Turns, you can see just looking at how things are playing out even now. This show had so much more life to it, and it had so much, there were so many more interesting storylines and interesting characters that they really could have gone into in a way that, because of a lot of factors, Guiding Light might not have been able to do.
Well, at the same time, this show, if they've stopped taping, I've been saying this for the past, what, it seems like months, but this show has got to wrap crap up. And I don't think that they are, and it just is driving me nuts because I'm like having visions of Guiding Light's finale dancing in my head, and considering how difficult that one was to watch because that thing just felt like it was thrown together. I mean, everybody was running around PPAC never mind. But I just don't want that for As the World Turns.
Well, I don't want it either, and this is where we part company, because I understand what you're saying. I mean, if you look at the show really sort of day-to-day and you look at the storylines more or less on a day-to-day basis, it's like, well, what are they doing? They've got all of this stuff. How can they possibly wrap it up? But I'm looking at more of like the long-term towards September 17th, which is the last show date. I see end games for most of how these storylines are going to go. And you have to also,
but see, I don't think it's too much to ask that before a show goes off air, we can watch people actually be happy for a bit. There's so much angst and drain for these shows that instead of having a happy final episode, I would just like for once to see Jack and Carly in full romantic bloom and happy with each other before they go off air. Because how often do we get to see that? I would love to see Holden and Lily happy for a while. Luke and whichever of the two he's supposed to end up with happy for a while. I don't want to have it be, oh, they were together in the end. I would like to see a little bit of that end before it goes off the air.
I don't think but I think that the flip side of that argument is that you don't want, 8.5 weeks of people being lovey-dovey. They've still got 8.5 weeks or so to go where they've got to have a responsibility to keep the few fans that are still watching, reasonably entertained. And on a soap, that means...
Are you saying that people can't be entertained to watch people be happy?
Yeah, they can, but you know how As the World Turns through story. And As the World Turns through story so fast that a lot of that time will be just like treading water. And we've seen soaps go off the air in that last month or so. They're just treading water. As a Guiding Light did a lot of that. And I think that – I really do think at the end of the day that executive producer Chris Gutman saw the mistakes that were done at Guiding Light as they went off the air the way that they did. Whether you kind of liked it or not, didn't like it, they made a lot of mistakes. And I think that he's doing his best to avoid quite a few of them. And I think that having like one big umbrella storyline with the Gabriel Carrera story, and I actually have some things to write about that, but having one big umbrella storyline that once it kind of resolves itself, puts most of those characters in a place of sort of reconciliation, and then having these couples where they are at a place where between now and September 17th, they can kind of come together or go apart as needed. It's kind of where it's all headed. I think that the resolution will be more or less satisfying.
Speaking of umbrella storylines, in last week's episode, Reagan went on a bit of a rant about the fact that Brenda does not need to be caught up in Franco's storyline, but yet we learned this last week that GH has cast Adrian Barbeau and is coming to town when Brenda does. So in addition to Franco, we also have a guest star. YNR is going to have to try and find someone else to compete with, find another former star to cast in a role so that they can compete with General Hospital once again. What do you think of the casting, and where do you think things? I mean, what do you think of how things stand with Brenda's return, Reagan, and then Karen?
Well, she's coming on as like a child advocate that has some kind of
children's charity.
Like a children's charity in Europe, right?
I've got dibs on that.
Yeah.
I can't say anything bad about the children.
No, you can't. But the whole Franco thing is what bugs me still. It's Brenda Barrett. She doesn't need to be linked to the stupid psycho killer artist, whatever he is.
I'm just going to say that it's all linked together to the hospital lockdown, Franco, Brenda, this children's thing, and something that Franco leaves her.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say right now. But
I mean,
Franco leaves Brenda, or Franco leaves this other character?
I'm not sure which one, but Brenda will end up with it.
It's Goose's way of kind of trying to fix everybody's gripe from the first time around, that it was all Franco and Jason. And he's trying to make it more across the whole canvas with this whole hospital lockdown. It's still going to be Franco, Jason.
And poor Dante. How much you want to bet Dante goes to jail?
I haven't seen anything about that yet.
This is just my pure speculation. But it's like, if I were Dante, there is no way in hell I'd be signing off on Jason getting out of prison. No way.
I loved it with Claire first. When Claire first told him what the terms of the deal was, and he said, "Screw that."
Yeah, he's like, "No way." No way.
And by the way, how does she get to tell him anything?
I know.
Right.
That makes no sense.
And where's Mac? I don't know. Where's that FBI guy?
I really like Claire. I was telling Reagan, with each passing week, I am liking her more and more and more.
I don't mind her, but I'm trying to figure out what she's still doing there. She's a federal prosecutor who was sent there for one case, and she's still there.
So she can take
she's not the DA of Port Charles. She wasn't assigned to Port Charles, or if she was, they haven't told us that she was. She should be working with Mac or somebody else locally. She's not. It's like she's running the show and giving everybody orders, and she's not Dante's boss. She's not. I mean, I just don't get it.
And she's cutting deals with criminals.
Yeah, none of it makes sense.
And telling Lucky that her biological clock is ticking.
Yeah.
I mean, just random
okay.
stuff.
She's going to be swapping spit with Sonny, Alexis is going to tell
her. Wait. She's going to be swapping spit with Sonny.
Yeah.
Could they be any more cliche?
Alexis tells him to use birth control.
Yeah, Alexis tells him to use birth control, yeah.
Karen. It's been a while since you've been on, so I want to get your opinion. We know what Reagan thinks, but what do you think of Chad Duell as Michael and how he's developing in the role?
Now, see, I really thought he did a good job with the whole prison. With the prison episodes. I really liked him. I liked his facial expressions. When he came out of prison, now it's a little bit tougher for me to get used to him. Being in with the rest of the kids, the cast. Mm-hmm. And he seems to have that same angst face on all the time. You know, when he's concentrating, his eyebrows are together. When he's happy, his eyebrows are together. Which worked in prison, but I don't know if it works now. Plus, in my mind's eye, which I'm sure that everybody else is doing, I keep wondering how Drew would play it, which I do a lot of times with recasts. So I think it's difficult, although I didn't mind him in the jail scenes at all.
I have another question for you, Karen, because this seems to be a growing sentiment amongst a lot of DC readers, or at least a good portion of them. Do you think that GH is overplaying Lulu and Dante too much between all the sex they're having, the fact that they're on 24 hours a day, it seems? Do you think it's a matter of them taking a good thing and ruining it?
Personally, I didn't think so, but I asked the question one time on Twitter, why is everybody so against Lante all of a sudden? Because there was a lot of negative tweets about him. And I got a barrage and in the blog of they're sick of seeing him every day. And then I started to see, oh my God, they're right. They are on every single day.
They're suffering
from it. They're making out all the time. And yeah, I really think that, especially with Dante, he's
suffering from Sonny syndrome. I remember in the 90s, Sonny was this way, and now it was Sonny and Carly, and now it's Lulu and Dante.
Right.
Though
and
Lulu isn't as much as Carly was.
Well, can I say that I think I noticed when the tide turned against Dante specifically, because it had been growing for a bit, but I think the tide turned like specifically and definitively when Dante broke into the court and basically got Michael thrown in prison. You know, when he basically said, you know, Michael did it, it seemed like a lot of fans that I noticed on Twitter and in comments that I was seeing around suddenly was like, oh, my God, he betrayed his brother. And the whole Dante played God card started getting played a lot among fans. And I think it was that started this whole wave of anti-Lante. I actually said anti-Lante. The whole anti-Lante sentiment started like rising to the surface.
But they've been on, to me, they're shown at the expense of every other couple on the show now. Because we don't see anybody else.
No.
Unless you get a quick makeout section from John, a session from Johnny and Olivia.
That
looks
really,
like it should be on Cinemax.
I know.
We're going to see like Spinelli and Maxie end, and really, we see like maybe a random scene here or there.
What they
Maxie
have done to the
Spinelli.
Character Spinelli is one
oh,
of single.
Terrible.
It's terrible. They have dismantled that character and destroyed him. I mean, yes, the continual use of nicknames for everybody could be annoying, but that was one of the most unique characters General Hospital has had in a very long time, and now they're doing to Spinelli what they did to Kate Howard, who was also a very unique character when she came on, and it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. There was one other thing I wanted to ask you, Karen, before we move on to The Bold and the Beautiful. What are you thinking of Brooklyn's return? Because I have to say, I'm loving Adrienne Leoh.
Okay, first of all, I think that she's infusing a lot of good dramas in everything. She really is, especially for Lante.
Is she reminding you of Lois a lot? Because I didn't get to see the original Lois. I only saw Leslie Kay's return. So to me, I sort of imagine her being this generation's Lois. But
she also reminds me of Bobby way back when, which, you know, she was always trying to steal everybody else's man. I loved one of my favorite scenes of the year was when she and Sonny sat down and had brunch on his patio. And I know that people are sick of them talking about the old days and everything, but I just thought that was such a nice, lighthearted scene. And we need more of those. We need more of Sonny being just a regular person.
And I agree with you. My concern is that they're turning Brooklyn into a Sonny apologist.
Well, doesn't everything always come back to Sonny? Doesn't every character always come back to Sonny? The one good thing she has going for is she has that Quartermain connection. So hopefully...
She hasn't spent a lot of time there,
I know. But I'm hoping, against hope...
May has spent more time in the Quartermain mansion than Brooklyn has since Brooklyn's been back.
There's supposed to be a Tracy Brooklyn scene. There's supposed to be... But, you know, they film stuff that gets edited out all the time, so...
Do you think that Zoe's coming still?
I don't think so.
I haven't heard a word.
They had said that the girl that they wanted was in school, and that they were waiting until she was out of school. And,
She must be some actress for a TV show. I mean, for
a show like General Hospital to
put their casting on hold.
I really don't think so. Plus, she was supposed to be paired with Michael, and she's supposed to be a bit younger. And if they recasted Chad Duell because they wanted somebody a little bit older, I just don't see. They were very contradictory with what they were saying. So,
I would also like Brooklyn to sing more because she is a great singer.
Oh, yes.
And I would also, as a speech pathologist, that's what I do in real life, would love to work with her on her dialect because she needs a lot of help in that area, and I can help her with that.
It's gotten significantly heavier than when the last time we saw her.
It fluctuates all over the place. And it's she goes through the five boroughs of New York and Long Island on a whim. So
see, what I'm wondering is if they should just do what many of us had hoped that they had done with Ray Montez on One Life to Live and just get rid of the dang accent.
Right.
Because Ray Montez, without that awful accent, might not have been that bad to watch.
Right.
But Brooklyn, I don't mind Brooklyn's accent that much at this point. But I could see where it could become very grating the longer it goes on. It's like, this is one of those things you could just phase out.
Yes.
Talk about how great Luke, Lucky, and Ethan were for just
a minute. Oh, my God.
I have never loved Tony Garrett so much, at least not in the recent years, as I did in those scenes.
They could have just had them sit in that apartment all week, just talk about stuff, put ketchup on eggs, I don't care.
What was it me, or, okay, my DVR has been having problems this last week, so I watched some stuff live, and some of it's the DVR
just
stuff.
Just this last week, I don't think so.
No, not just this last week, I have ongoing DVR problems, I must admit. But in those scenes, did you find it interesting that Ethan and Luke were basically eating the exact same way, and Lucky was just sitting there watching him? It was
hysterical.
It was awesome.
To me, what made the scene was Lucky's expressions.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
It was good.
He was like, how the hell can I get them out of my house?
We all know that Tony Geary ad-libs a lot of his lines. It's like been reported like a million and one times that he pretty much acts off the cuffs. And for the two of them to just kind of roll with it with him was, I mean, kudos to the both of them because the three of them just did a great job. So
Bernard, let's talk about Bold and Beautiful for a bit. Nick now knows that Bridget is carrying Owen's baby, and he isn't taking it so well as opposed to Owen and Jackie and Bridget, who have a very evolved sense of everything. He's coming across as a bit of a caveman in some respects, but of course he's only found out, and they've had months to deal with this. What do you think?
Well, now I need to preface this with another. Bold and the Beautiful is extremely new to me. I know enough of it to know the bones, the bare bones of what was going on, and in the sense of the whole Nick finding out that his wife slept with his mother's husband, his mother's younger husband, and now she's pregnant with his mother's younger husband's child. I was laughing hysterically through the whole thing. Not at the show. I was almost laughing with. I was laughing with the show because Jack Wagner was he was priceless. His expressions were priceless as Nick is raging on about how his mother, Jackie, who looks only 2 years older than he, if that much.
Oh yeah, that's terrible. Yeah.
I mean, he's got. When your son has more wrinkles than you do, something is wrong. It's true. He's raging on at how she could be so accepting, and Owen and Bridget are kind of looking like deer caught in headlights. And Jackie's like, but we will love this child, and we will raise it, and you will be the father. And he's like, bitch, what you been drinking?
Yeah, he goes, what do you, I believe it was something along the lines of, what do you want us to do, raise us as four parents in a kumbaya moment or something
that,
like that?
That
it's
was,
like,
that
and,
was
and,
the,
and
line.
The moment when he said that, I thought, Reagan needs to be watching this show considering how much she loves Big Love.
Oh, God.
Oh, I was thinking Big Love is the same thing. I mean, that makes Big Love look like Leave It to Beaver. It was, it was truly off the chain how they went through it. In a real telenovela way, and it was watching those scenes when Nick found out, and he's going over and he's punching Owen, and everybody's emotions are super heightened, and everyone's speaking in declarative sentences.
It's totally turned it into a telenovela.
It's a complete telenovela now. I mean, it's not
there isn't a resemblance. I mean, considering the last couple weeks' cliffhangers, where I mean, last week we talked about the fact that it ended with Stephanie shooting Steven at point blank range, cutting to black. I mean, or making it look like she was going to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh! I was also in love with Stephanie's reaction when Brooke and what's the other daughter's name? Help me out. When everybody ran into the cabin.
Oh yeah.
When the dog ran in, and they were like, "Yeah, Katie," and they're like, "You shot our father," and she's like, "Yep, I sure did. Oh, I just winged him. He'll be okay." Stephanie was like almost giddy about having shot Steven. And then she's like, oh, Stephanie, like, oh, I'll call the police. And she has this nice little conversation with the cop. Oh, yeah, how are your kids? Oh, yeah, I'm doing fine. Oh, by the way, I had an intruder in my home and I shot him. Oh, I'll see you in a minute. It was hysterical. And it was very knowing. It wasn't, you know, you could easily laugh at it, like I said, but I was actually laughing with it because it was very knowing in its campiness, and it just embraced it like this whole past week, including when Oliver was talking to Hope, and Hope was filling Oliver in on Brooke's sluttishness.
Yep.
And Oliver, having realized he just had mistakenly slept with his girlfriend's mother, he was literally they showed
well,
him.
Well, he's known that for at least a week now, but yeah.
At least a week. Yeah, but the shot that got me was she's talking about Brooke and Deacon, and they show the Oliver thinking back to when he accidentally slept with Brooke, and they go back from the flashback, and he literally has sweat running down his face. Hysterical.
Well, and in the meantime, Steffi should apply for the job at every single police department in soap operas, because Steffi apparently can put two and two together like no one and get what she wants when it comes to solving a mystery, because she's already figured out that Oliver and Brooke have slept together.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's Stephanie's one smart cookie. She has to be. I found my first full week in the 23 years the show has been on the air. That was my first full week of ever actually watching The Bold and the Beautiful all the way through. I actually was I was enjoying it. But I enjoyed it as a comedy more than a drama.
It's totally turning into a comedy. But So is this episode. But so before we wrap things up, Karen, which one daytime Emmy win are you hoping for most on tonight's daytime Emmys?
I can't pick one. I have two. I'm sorry. Scott Clifton. I really, really would like Scott Clifton to win. I loved him on One Life to Live. I'm so mad he's gone. I would love for him to win. And, of course, Carolyn Hennessy. Those are my two picks.
Bernard?
I want to see Beth Chamberlain win for Guiding Light, who I believe for close to 20 years, maybe a little more, was one of the most underrated actresses on all of daytime. And it would not just be a nice little coda period for Guiding Light, but
she's in a tough category, really, though.
It's a terribly tough category. I would love for Carolyn Hennessy to win. Love it, love it, love it. But I'm going to go with Beth Chamberlain because I also believe that as an actress, not just for sentimentality's sake with Guiding Light, but as an actress, I believe that she was at the top of her game. So,
Reagan, since you made your picks last week, do you have a final thought?
No, Drew Garrett just better win.
Okay. We would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Be sure to follow Karen on Twitter as well. Where can they find you, Karen?
At WubsNet, and we'll be having a Twitter party tonight for the the Emmys, and put daytime Emmys in your timeline.
Daytime Confidential's Mel will be live blogging the daytime Emmys tonight, so be sure to tune in for that as well. You can follow us on Facebook. Also, be sure to check out our new sister podcast, Pop Confidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See ya.